And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is May 8th, 2018. Your time is 5:14 p.m. You are tuned into a Pastor Spot, a community, you were listening to the Pastor Spot. I'll let the pastor tell the rest of it. The host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Kerry, I understand. It's a beautiful day out there. You were thinking about going home and doing some yard work, weren't you, huh? Yeah. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You're listening to the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio broadcast of Community Christian Fellowship. Our location is 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222. And our web address is www.prospectccf.com. Our services are on Sunday. We have morning Bible study at 9:30, services at 10:30. Again, we have youth group at 6:30, and we have evening service at 10:30, along with midweek studies. Evening service is 6:30. But love to have you come anytime you want to. This is a call-in program. You're welcome to call in and discuss with us at any time. We talk about different topics in current culture today and relate them to the Bible and how we should be and where we should be as Christians. But you're welcome to call in at any time. But I tell you this, as you call in, please be civil, be kind. This is a family show, and if you're not, then we just have to cut you off. But the call number here is 740-383-9944, and we welcome your calls. To begin with today, I'm going to read a scripture passage, and what I'd like to do and think about this passage, and we will get back, and you'll understand why I gave it to you after we read it here in just a minute. We are in Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 22. And let me read this for you. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, now understand these were Jewish leaders, they were brought before, and Peter and John had been testifying of Jesus in the early church, very early days of the church. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and discovered that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized these men had been with Jesus. And because they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say against this. But when they had ordered them to go outside the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what should we do with these men? For it is plain to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable miraculous sign has come about through them, and we cannot deny it. But to keep this matter from stir among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name. And they called them in and ordered them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, whether it is right before God to obey you rather than God, you decide. For it is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. After threatening them further, they released them, for they could not find how to punish them on account of the people, because they were all praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this miraculous sign of healing had been performed was over 40 years old. So, here's these guys, and they're dragged, these two apostles, and they're dragged before the, basically the government. And the government's afraid. You know, they're trying to quiet this whole thing down. They like their positions, they like what they do, they like the position they're in. If the New Testament church takes hold, then a lot of their positions become meaningless. And they're trying to quiet the whole thing down. But I love their response, where they say, whether we obey you or God, you decide that. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. You know, we're not going to be quiet. We're going to obey God. And which brings me to today a little bit. Guess what, folks? You've got about an hour and 35 minutes left till the polls close. And today is election day. Got a lot of issues out there, a lot of people out there. Oh, a lot of people running for office. You know, Terry, I'll tell you, I normally I can pretty much figure out early on who's doing what and whatnot. And this has been a tough one because a lot of people are claiming to be the same people. You notice that?
Yeah.
And I guess that's when we have to slow down and sit down and actually examine people's voting records to see, you know, who they really are, if we can tell. You know, I think there's this little situation that we have in this country, and it's called an absence of conviction, sometimes even integrity. And I think the two go hand in hand. Interesting electorate we have out there. Interesting people following politics today. I think a lot of times people follow politics and they become real zealots maybe over anger. Anger is a huge driving force today. Sometimes a temporary ideology, you know what I mean by that? It's an ideology built on temporary things. Maybe a single issue. You hear about single issue voters. A lot of times they talk about gun rights people being single issue voters, or people that want gun control being single issue voters. Another one that comes up is a lot of times over the years has been Social Security. Some people use that as a single issue. If that candidate speaks well in that area, that's all they need to hear. What are some other ones, Terry?
Jobs.
Abortion. Yep. That's one. That's yeah. One. Or those that are the right to life people. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different issues, but jobs is huge. One thing that's currently been a lot more in the forefront in the last few years has been nation security, borders,
yep.
Those kind of things. So there's a lot of issues that people bring to the table sometimes, and a lot of times the candidates try to pacify everyone in every one of those groups. But what I'm concerned about today is, where are people's hearts? What are their real convictions, if you can even get to them? Now, the interesting thing
is, when you say that, you're talking politicians and or just strictly politics? I mean, you're talking about voters and politicians?
I'm talking both.
Everybody. Okay. All
right. Let's start with politicians, okay? The convictions of a politician. Now, they will all tell you they have convictions. And they'll openly tell you in a forum what they are, what those convictions truly are. But the truth is, what happens is, when it comes time for them to vote once they're in office, in whatever forum and wherever they may be, however their voting goes, then we find out if they really have convictions. Because, see, I truly believe that if you truly have convictions, you can't do something different. You know what I mean? You just can't bring yourself to do it. You've got to vote your convictions. And some people would say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know about that. That's, you know, what about compromise? Well, I think there's a lot of room for compromise within and around what those convictions are. In other words, don't shy away from your convictions to compromise. That's called caving in. And it doesn't matter. You know, I'm talking to people. Understand, you guys know where I'm coming from. I'm a good old born and raised Baptist pastor. And you know, I'm a Christian first, a Baptist second. But so you can have an idea where I'm coming from. But understand, whatever side of politics you're on, whatever side of any of that you're on, we're talking about what are your true heart convictions and what are their convictions. I think sometimes today it is hard to find many a politician that you can trust what they say are their convictions. So that's why I say a lot of times you have to go back to their voting records. And I think that sometimes they'll tell you in politics, man, he said, if you vote your convictions, it's political suicide. Well, you know what? As a people, we need to get back to it. Let's talk about culture for a minute, about our culture, about our convictions in culture. Can we even put a finger on them anymore? They're kind of all over the place, aren't they? I mean, what people truly believe. I don't know that people know what they believe.
Well, one note that I jotted down here was, do you think now that money has become a driving force in people's convictions?
Oh, absolutely. Their comfort.
In other words, what I say is, let's say, you know, you're planning on maybe to get a road paved or something. Well, your legislator or your politician or whatever wants to get this done for you, but now maybe he has to, you know, he's getting influenced by, or she's getting influenced by an outside organization that, you know. So now maybe they've shied away from getting that road done to kind of focus on where this money.
Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, let me tell you what convictions are, and let's go back within that, if I were in that situation with the convictions, and yes, this is probably political suicide, what's wrong with coming out and saying, you know what, I promise you guys I want this road done. We need the money. And guess what? This outside group is putting pressure on me to, let's call them out. You know, see, everything wants to operate in the shadows anymore. And I understand in government there needs to be a certain amount of things that are decided and then brought to the table. It's just like in any business. A lot of times there's a lot of meetings, a lot of discussion before the company owner or manager makes a decision and brings it to the employees. If you bring it early on, they're not going to understand and there's going to be an uproar. And it's kind of that way a lot of times in politics, that if you let them know everything that's going on, nobody's going to ever get anything done. There has to be a certain amount of that, and it really doesn't matter party or anything like that. It's just what has to happen to get things done. But I'm talking about, you know, let's come clean with the crookedness and the things that are out there. I think it's very important. A lot of people lose interest in going to the polls. A lot of people, and unfortunately, you know, you were talking about the money thing. I thought you meant something different. I thought was looking at the side of, you know, a lot of people, I'll be honest with you, they're not even going to get interested until they start running out of money. As long as people have their mortgage payment, a little bit of extra spending money if they can get it, money to go out and do what they want on the weekend, money to go to dinner, as long as they have a lot of those things, they're going to ride the storm as long as they can. And they're not going to really look at the issues. And the problem is that when things arise on the surface and get really difficult, it's because there were a lot of precursors to that, a lot of things that came beforehand that weren't dealt with properly to where it gets to the point. Look what happened with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on for a long time underneath. It didn't just suddenly blow up. And we have to understand that goes on and everything. And that's why it is important, it's imperative for us as Americans to be involved in a country. We have a very odd country here, if you think about it. This is one of the few places that ever happened in the world where a group of people from a lot of different walks of life came together for the cause of liberty and freedom, and decided to form a country so that everyone can have equal freedom and equal liberty and come together in that way. So it is supposed to be a government by who?
Of the people, for the people, and by the people.
Of the people, for the people, and by the people. And what's happened is, as much as we complain and yell about our politicians and carry on about them, what has happened is we have sat back for a long time and decided that we are going to be a people that is willing to let the government do it for us, do it by us, right?
And do it to us.
And do it to us. and honestly, what happened is we've got this far schism between the people and the government. And the government operates over here, and you have people, all the deal-making going on, you've got all the... I mean, for instance, you know, Congress can pass no law that doesn't affect them as well as it affects other people or do anything of the nature. Why is it that our Congress was not affected by the what's commonly called Obamacare? Whether you like it or dislike it, why is it that they can pull out and still have their own pride? You see what I mean? A lot of that goes on. The special interests, you know, they can give themselves raises. I think we should vote whether to give them raises or not.
Well, technically, don't they work for us? I mean,
they're supposed to be. And don't get me wrong, Terry, there's some good people there.
But I mean, if we're their bosses, I mean, we shouldn't.
Well, they don't see us as their bosses. Once they're in there, they're the boss, and we're going to do. And it's a different playing field than most of us know about and understand. And like I say, there's some – I've seen some good people go into politics and over the deal-making in the years, they just get either they become part of the program or they just get disillusioned and leave. And I don't think it should be that way. But here, Terry, is where I want to put the blame. I'm not going to blame them like everyone else. Don't blame us. This is our government. We own it. We're a people that owns that government. On election day, there should be lines outside. Literally. We should be paying attention to who these people are. See, we need to have our own convictions. And then that would take us to that point of making sure the people that are representing us are representing our convictions. Does that make sense? That's the way it's supposed to work. Rather than sitting back and letting people do what they're going to do, and then we complain about it, and then we get our, like we were talking about a minute ago, we got our single issues out there that we're all over. As long as this person is an advocate for A, B, or C, I'm going to vote for him. Well, you may not realize that there's two things over here that are going to affect you drastically that you're not even looking at because you're so hung up on A, B, or C. And the problem is with that is that it's hard to be a person of convictions and be a single issue voter. You understand what I mean? Because if you have true convictions, it's going to cover a wide variety of things that are going to be basically made up who you are, your character, your identity, who you are. You're going to have integrity based within what you believe and who you are. People know that your word's your word, and this is who you are and what you believe. I've seen some politicians before that are dead, straight shooting honest with how they feel. And I couldn't stand them. But I appreciate the fact they were dead honest with who they were. You know, and we've got some out there today like that, that, you know, I think they're pretty straight shooters from their own point of view. But at least they're straight shooters. You know where they're coming from. No one likes to be duped.
Well, those are the type I like that let you know right off the bat, this is where I'm coming, you know, either you like me or you don't, you know, and that's your
choice. Give them a clear cut. You know, I've said a long time ago that we've been discussing, you know, what do? Everyone's sick of the political ads. They know sooner and they start right back up. And, you know, I was sitting there watching them the other night, just very briefly. I got to turn away from that stuff. Turn on Discovery Channel or something where I don't see it. And you'll have one guy come on and, this is preaching to the choir, I know, talking to you, but you'll have someone come in and say, well, so-and-so used special interest money and they're a crook. And then the other person, their challenger, comes on and says, you know, so-and-so used special interest money and they're a crook. And a lot of times, if you understand politics a little bit and understand how it works, you understand how they skirt a little bit around the truth to say that about a person. I heard an ad the other night. Someone was accusing someone of using government money for their own benefit. You know how they got away with that? The person's been an employee of the government for the last 10 years. They were getting paid by them. So what they're saying was truth, but what the ad was saying was making them look like a crook. Oh, yeah. And see, that's the kind of stuff we got to get away from. Call these people out. And, you know, it's not the politician's job to call each other out, because who's going to believe them? It's our job to say, you know what, I don't appreciate what you did. Many, many years ago, George Bush Sr., George H.W., was running for office, and I was a younger man, and I was going to vote for him. And he made a comment that he knew nothing at all about the Iran-Contra affair. Well, I knew better. And I think anyone with any common sense knew better. And I thought, if you think that you're going to come up and lie, you know, bald-faced to me as American and expect me to vote for you, I won't. Now, maybe that was a mistake, not voting that way. I don't know. It's been a long time ago. But what I'm saying is, it just infuriated me that he can look right at a camera and just blatantly come out and lie. And of course, you know that since then, I don't know a politician out there, at least on the federal level, with our presidents that haven't at one time or another came out and just said something that we know is inherently false.
I chalk a statement up like that Mr. Bush made. That would you classify that almost as like trying to insult our intelligence?
Yes, I would, but they
we know.
So
we know
why
better.
Do they all keep doing
that's
it?
That's what I say. We know better. I mean,
And that's the frustrating thing. And I think that's why a lot of people turn away from even going to the polls. I'm not dealing with it anymore. But I got to tell you, folks, you got to do it anyway. So wait a minute. I got to get back to what I was supposed to be talking about, don't I? Because I mentioned the situation with Peter and John. And they were ordered, you know, not to speak anymore of this Jesus or do anything in his name. And they said, we've got to obey God. So this is what I want to talk about a little bit. It's really funny that, you know, Christians, people that call themselves followers of Christ, believers of the book, believers of the Word of God, should have pretty firm convictions, should pretty much stand on a solid and firm foundation. I was having this discussion the other day with a couple people about when I grew up. And I grew up with a bunch of fun teenagers that we were probably as ornery as any kids anywhere, got into a lot of mischief. But something was interesting about our parents in that era, and I'm taking you guys back to the 70s for this, the 1970s, not the 18. our parents across the board of my friends at church, one thing they did, they sat under a solid Bible teacher usually on Sunday morning. They had Bible Sunday school, they would call it, and then they would have church. Then on Wednesday night, they had a Bible study and prayer time, and Sunday night, they had Sunday night services. And they sat under a solid theologian, which gave them a firm foundation in what they believed. And because of that, out of that group came certain convictions that they held to and they believed. The problem is today, nobody has been sitting under solid teaching. And I'm talking to Christians out there, you know what I'm talking about. And the problem is today that, you know, when kids... See, I heard my parents teaching to me, and I knew it, and I understood it. It gave me a solid foundation to hang on to when I was drowning, when I was a young man in all kinds of stuff I shouldn't be. And the problem is so many adults today that have kids that are now teenagers, even adults, have not sat under any solid teaching. They haven't formed any firm convictions. So when it comes to the world of what they believe and what they think, it's the Bible just describes it as like being in the ocean, being tossed to and fro with every wind of change comes a different thought or whatever. There's no firm conviction to hold and go in a particular direction. And if there were, we would help hold people more accountable. And I appreciate that when people are honest with what they believe and who they are. But these men in the Bible, and this goes all the way back to the first century AD, and they were told to be quiet. They said, we can't. You know, government understand we can't. And I hope that people understand that people that really have a firm conviction on something can't not do it. So in other words, a lot of times... in the media, a lot of times, you know, or certain groups will get upset at Christians because they won't go along with something that's very progressive in change in society. What they must understand is they're not doing it to be mean. It's your convictions. See what I mean? And you've got to hang on to your convictions. That's what these two apostles said. They said, we can't do anything else. You know, we obey God, we don't obey you. And, you know, before Jesus' resurrection, he even warned them this stuff was going to happen. You know, because of me, they're going to drag you before councils. They're going to threaten you. They're going to do this and that. And I think we live in a day where society needs to understand that people living their convictions need to hold to their convictions. That's why no one trusts anyone anymore, because no one seems to have any.
But here's my question to that, and I don't know if it's a playoff of that or just because my convictions are different than yours doesn't mean I'm less of a Christian than you. Is that correct or is that incorrect?
No, I mean it's both.
I mean, I can still be a Christian both. And have different convictions. Is that correct or not?
You know, I think so. I think here's one thing I do want to say. The Bible doesn't change. The Word of God is true.
But you can interpret it differently. Is that
well? That's interesting that you should put it that way. I believe that God, when God wrote the book, he wrote it one way. There is a proper interpretation. Now, we believe that we that are Christians believe that the Holy Spirit guides us through proper teaching of the Word and exposes it to what it's going to say. But I will say this. The Word of God, as we read it, I can read the Bible and get something new out of it all the time. Read the same message and something is illuminated in it. You know, the scripture is so, it's amazing. If anyone would just take the time to start reading your Bible and understanding it, it'll blow you away because it is so relevant to today. Everything in it. People say, oh, the Bible's old, it's antiquated. Oh, no, it's not. All of its principles line right up with today. Now, I'll say this. Let me just give you an example in what I'm talking about, what we were just talking about. Say that I have a particular problem with an issue that affects me personally, it doesn't affect you. Let's use something simple, okay? Okay. Say I'm a diabetic.
Okay.
Okay. Say I'm a diabetic and I love chocolate. Now, the Bible tells us our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit to take care of it, right? It would be wrong for me to eat chocolate, right?
Right.
You're not a diabetic. You're going to eat chocolate. You love chocolate. It is not wrong for you to eat chocolate. You see where I'm at? Same principle, two different situations. And that's what we got to look at. I don't think the Bible changes. The Bible's honest in what it says. But I think that there are, the Bible allows room for different circumstances in a lot of cases. The Bible also understands something about God, and it's the reason Jesus came and died on the cross was to forgive people for their sin. And in no place does it say that there's no way that we can repent and turn our lives around. So we have to understand that whatever situation we're in life, we can always turn away from it and turn to the Lord. God's not suddenly going to change the book, you know, that was written, well, several thousand years ago, part of it. And then, of course, the New Testament almost a couple thousand years ago or a couple thousand. Anyway, God's not going to suddenly say that it's okay to lie, that it's okay to steal, it's okay to do all those things. He's not going to change it. I mean, a thief's a thief, a liar's a liar. Right. We're not supposed to do it.
No, I wouldn't and, say
and,
it. No,
and you know, one thing that we see a lot today that's really changed a lot in society, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, probably raised some hair on a few people's backs, but, you know, the Bible says that you know, you're not to lie with a woman that you're not married with. It clears a bell. Now, that's a law of God. That's something God says, and repeatedly through Scripture. I mean, we don't suddenly say that as society we've grown out of that. Yeah, we may have as a society moved away from it, but my convictions still tell me it's wrong because my convictions are what's in the Word of God, so I'm going to follow that. Now, if you're a good friend of mine and that's the lifestyle you're choosing, I'm not going to unfriend you. I'm not going to be down your throat all the time, but I would expect you to respect my convictions and what I believe.
That's exactly the point I was trying to get to. What I'm saying, what I was saying was, let's say that scenario happens. You're not going to turn me away from church if I still want to go to, is that right? I mean.
No.
But you, even though you believe what you believe, and I live with this woman, I mean, you see what I'm saying? And I still attend church. That doesn't mean, you know, it just means you believe what you believe, you know. And
The only difference is, I think that in most churches have constitutions and bylaws, and they will have certain things listed in their constitution and bylaws that we believe are scriptural in our bylaws. So if you're going to join that church, you have to line up with whatever the bylaws are of that church. So there's a difference between attending and actually joining the body and becoming an active body. I'll give you an example. Say that you decide, you know, it's okay in certain situations to steal. We see it all the time now. People, you know, well, they're really hungry. They had a right to steal. Yeah. But say that you're convicted that it's okay to take something. If someone has more than you, someone's wealthy, they don't deserve it, it's okay for you to take it. And that's your conviction. And you're going to come to the church, and I'm going to welcome you in church. I know that's how you think, okay? And you're going to sit there, and you're going to hear the messages. I'm going to fellowship with you. Okay, now you just come to me and say, Steve, I want to join the church. I say, well, you know that we don't believe that it's okay to steal here. Yeah, but I want to do it anyway. And I say, well, okay. You said it's okay to steal, but, you know, we can overlook that. 2 months from now, you want to come in and you say, hey, Steve, I want to teach a Sunday school class. Now you're sitting in front of 10, 12 kids telling them it's okay to steal. You see why we have bylaws? That's why. So we need to respect our convictions. It's just like, you know, when you look at the Quakers, the Puritans, the Lutherans, the Baptists,
the Mennonites,
they all have their own convictions. I'm not going to go try to join their church knowing that some of those convictions I don't hold the same. You know, I know there's a group of Amish not far from here that, you know, their bishop said, you guys aren't going to have windshields in your buggy because it's too much of a modern convenience. You know, it's going to keep the wind off you. It's going to keep the rain off you. And you know, we're not going to have windshields. Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm not convicted that way, brother. I'm going to have a windshield. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a heater and an engine and tires and a whole bunch of things. But the point is, I respect them for that. But I'm not going to go try to join their church and change it. And I think that we need to respect the churches that we're in. And I think that we need to respect, you know, in our church what our bylaws and beliefs are and where they come from. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us that we are to be in unity and in unity under Scripture. So that's why one of the reasons we're going to go right back to the founding of this country. That is one of the reasons that we had what we had with the church and the government not encroaching on the church. You know, that's what separation of church and state was about. It wasn't about not having a religion anywhere. It was about the government not coming in and encroaching on the church like it did in Europe. And because of that, we are free. If you want to go have a church over here that worships pink elephants, you're free to do that. But don't come to my church and try to force me to worship a pink elephant. You see where I'm at with that? Now, I have my convictions. Now, I may believe that the only way that's right is a pink elephant. And I may come to you and say, you know, man, I really would love you to worship these pink elephants. That's my conviction. But it's your right to say, no, I'm not going to worship the pink elephant. You see where I'm at with that? Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't come across and say, because you believe this way, you're a hater or you're this. You know, I can't stand being called a hater. And because of certain issues that I may stand on or believe, I may be called a hater. But you know what? I love people. I don't judge anybody. God judges people. Why do I need to do it? I mean, what I mean by that is God put his rules and his laws down. You can follow or not follow them. I don't need to tell you. Yeah, I don't need to judge you for them. I better worry about Steve. But the point being, we need to love each other, share our convictions. You can believe what I want to believe or not believe what I want to believe. This is the country that we live in. But we have to be careful when it comes to our politics that we make sure that people are willing to hold those same convictions to allow me to continually worship or do what I believe without having a mob mentality on either side. And it's, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, as a lot of times it really bothers me that society expects us as Christians to go along with whatever society says is okay. And that's not fair because our convictions come from the Word of God and what we believe. And you're asking us to go against God, not against, I mean, a lot of times it'd be a lot easier on me personally to say, yeah, that's great, you know, because, you know, you don't necessarily, but see, because of my convictions, because I want to honor God and what God says over man. See, I'm a firm believer, because it's the truth, that life is short here. And this is just a journey we're on to do what he called us to do from the time we're born. And then there's an eternity after it. You know, my desire is to please God. I'm spending an eternity with him, not here. And if I'm here, if this is all there is, well, then, you know, maybe things would be different, but it's not. And I firmly believe that what we do here builds that character for the people that we're going to be when our that glorified time of being in eternity. And it's very far more important for me to do what God wants done than what I want done. You see where I'm at with that? But I just wish that a lot of times that society as a whole would understand or respect those opinions and decisions. I'm not one of those people that's going to be jumping up and down on a street corner, you know, telling people they're going to hell. No, I'm going to be showing people love and compassion and saying, yeah, I believe there's a heaven and hell, but you know what? There's a way to, there's a way you can be in heaven. And, you know, it's just like with, scripture tells us that, you know, Jesus didn't come here to condemn. He came here to save. He came so the world would be saved. The world is already condemned. That's the whole point. You know, when sin enters the world, it's already condemned. Well, only Jesus can come and free it. You know, and if he loved me enough to free it, I'm going to love him enough to follow him. And but when it comes to the government and things, I really want to see our freedoms protected. I think people need to get busy and go to the polls or we could be losing them. There's a lot of societies today. You know, there's something you don't hear very much about, Terry, at all, and that's the Christian persecution in this country, in this world. It's because for some reason the media chooses not to talk about it. There are literally hundreds of Christians killed every month around this world just because they're Christians. In the Middle East right now, where ISIS has been and those groups, they come through town and the local people, if someone is a Christian or believes in Christianity, will put an Arabic N on their building, their store, whatever. When the hick squads come through, they know who to attack. That N, that Arabic N, is for Nazarene. Jesus was a Nazarene. And you'll see these buildings that are blown up and torn up with N's on them. It's sad to see the beheadings and the stuff going on. I'm telling you, our news media, I'm talking about our major stations, don't even report it, rarely ever. But it's sad. And all we want to do is serve God. And I think we should be free to do it. I know we've known each other for a while now. And you know my opinions. We've talked on a lot of things. Have I ever shoved the Bible down your throat? Or anything? Why would I do that? I tell you my convictions about the Lord that I love, but I don't. The point is that's what people say, though, that Christians shove the Bible down people's throat. You know, we all get tarred with the same brush, and there's some people out there that literally are. No one ever came to Christ because someone drug them and beat them to Christ. You don't do that. You don't, you know, in a lot of countries, in Muslim countries, a lot of times, they will force you into what they believe or else. Truth is, with us, it's, you know, you have that opportunity to believe. If you believe, I can't make you believe. There's nothing I can do. I can tell you what I believe. If you accept that and you follow Christ, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But I'll tell you something else, Terry, if I'm really a believer, a true Christian. Even if you tell me you want nothing to do with it, I don't love you any less. You see the difference? So how in the world could I ever be labeled a hater? You see what I mean? Just because I don't agree with something someone does doesn't mean I hate them.
Well, I'm with you on that. I think that's probably one of the worst labels you could give somebody. I don't like that at all.
No, and it's become all too prevalent.
I was going to say, how often do we hear it? We hear it in sports. We hear it in, you know, everyday life. You know, just everything. You're a hater, you know, I mean.
If you don't agree with someone, you're a hater.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the way the world's going, there's more and more people I'm struggling to agree with. I don't like the bitterness. I don't like, you know, we talked a week ago on the problem with young people and the abductions. And I'm going to say it again tonight because I said it last week. I'm going to say it again tonight. Politicians, if you're out there, listen to me. Quit whining about some of this petty stuff and get on this problem of child abduction in the sex trade. It's pathetic that we're allowing this to go on. A $32 billion a year industry, and we're not raising an eyebrow over it to speak
well,
of.
Well, and the examples you used last week, basically these events are right under our nose.
Right under
our
nose.
This Quarter Horse Congress and this Arnold's fitness class, you know.
These yeah, are now, in now our get backyard. Out. Let's be honest. Those two events have nothing to do with what's going on.
No.
I want to clarify
right,
that.
Yeah.
It's just that during those events, there's so much traffic coming into town that they see the biggest spike in traffic during that time to serve those creeps that come into town.
Yes, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to say that as that was the problem.
So you know, and that's just a real problem that we have, you know, in society that you know these they service this industry, and it's heartbreaking. Kids that kids are special, aren't they? Aren't they beautiful? I've got a special place in my heart for kids, and my heart breaks for the ones that don't have anything. And you can just see it in their eyes, the kids that are maybe need a better home life, and to see people take advantage of kids. You know, Jesus said, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me, because such of theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, beautiful children. Jesus loved them, and there was a reason. And we need to take a lot better care of our children. And some of those issues really need looked at. And some of this other stuff, you know, think what you want about sealing the border or not, but we got over 50 metric tons of heroin coming over that thing every year. And guess where it's going, folks? To our children. And we're not doing anything. We're doing very little about it. And we really, really could. Whether you build or not a wall, I'm telling you, whether there's a wall there or not, you still could be doing something different than what's being done there. Someone says, well, it would just be another avenue. Well, good. Go stop that avenue next. But quit playing around in Washington and fighting about all this stuff. And you guys get your heads together and do something positive. Maybe we'll have some respect for you.
Well, the purpose of it, if you have a boat that has a hole, you plug that hole first, you know, and then, you know, don't try to...
You don't say, you know what, there's a hole there, so if I plug it, another one's going to... I just might as well sit here and sink.
Yeah, exactly. You plug the hole, you know.
Plug the hole, and we're not seeing that. And God's given us a great country here with great people, all walks of life. I've worked with so many people over the years from different walks of life, and... from different nationalities, my family, even my wife is, her mom came here from Wales after World War II, and just, you know, see all the blend of people. We have so much to be thankful for, but man, I got to tell you what, folks, we got to clean this society up. We're missing great opportunities with young minds, caring for each other, taking care of each other. Parents, love those kids, you know, learn how to stay at home with them. You don't have to be out every weekend leaving them alone. Get them in church and Sunday school. Our programs are great. We love kids. We got, you know, in Prospect, we're about out of time, aren't we? Where are we at, Terry? 3 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Good, I'll plug this. In Prospect every year, one of the few rare towns that do it, all four of our churches come together and we rotate our Bible school, the Bible school program that they have in the summer for 1 week. We rotate it at a different church each year. This year it's our church, and it's on, I think Moose on the Loose is what it's called, but it's an outdoor theme, and all of our churches, we had a meeting night before last, all the people in our churches come together, and we plan this, we all work together in town, and everybody does Bible school the same week, and we usually run somewhere between 70 and 100 kids. They have a fantastic time, and next year it'll be at, I don't know which church rotates in next year, but a different church in town, and we're working together because we love kids. And you know what? Bring your kids to it. I don't care if you're in Marion or where you're at. Bring your kids. We'd love to have them for a week. It'll be the evening this week. They'll have a great time. If nothing else, it'll give you an hour to go to the store while we're doing it or whatever, an hour or two.
Walk around Walmart if you
but,
want.
You know, think of the kids, man. Bring the kids. Let them have a good time and learn great things. As we close, I got about 30 seconds. It's all about know what you believe. Care about what you believe and act on what you believe. And the Word of God should be at the center of it. God loves each and every person out there. And I want you to understand that. And I don't care where your life's been, you can have a new life in Christ. And you can. He wants to take that old life and put it as far from the east as the west. You don't have to pay for it anymore. He's paid for it for you. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Say, highlight your services if you want.
After you're done. Yep. Absolutely. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker, Community Christian Fellowship. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30. We'll be having a Mother's Day service this week, and it's at 10:30. And we have a evening service at 6:30. Sunday school's at 9:30, and Wednesday evening is at 6:30 and 7 o'clock. So anyway, love to have you guys come. Don't worry about what you have to wear, because we wear just about anything. But do wear clothes. I would appreciate clothes coming. Don't get anyone shocked coming in the door. But, we're a very open, kind congregation. And just give you some solid grounding, a solid rock to start building your life on. And, hey, love you guys. Can't wait till next week. This is my favorite time of the week to do this show. God bless you all. And talk to you next week.
Take care, everybody. You're listening to WWGH Radio 1.